your presence. That's where I want to be.
We're going to continue with this Rick Becker article that I found. It'll be in the description below. And I want to continue going about the signs of captivity in a false gospel. Because this is a day and an hour where we can't be silent. And if we're being silent, we're going to have to stand before God because, you know, how can we stand and see all this stuff going on and then not say anything? And I'm just going to read just a little bit of it. If you get the whole article, but I'm not going to share all of it. We're just going to go into another point today. But some would have us to believe the greatest revival the world has ever seen is upon us. And I used to believe this because I listened to these people. But Scripture teaches the opposite. There will be a false anointed, there will be a false movement. There will be false anointed ones, a departure from the faith, apostasy, and doctrines that demons will teach that will deceive many within the visible church. Those within the New Apostolic Reformation ignore what Scripture teaches. Now, first of all, you're going to have a hard time finding out who these churches are. But if they have super apostles, super prophets, that's pretty much them. If they have new revelations, even though they say they aren't a part of this movement, they are. But they ignore what Scripture teaches. They're hoping to be activated by a super apostle. And this is the other thing that I want to share today about touching not the anointed. A lot of people don't know what that means. It becomes an excuse to not challenge, to not think, to not study for yourself. Well, they're anointed. And they take that Scripture in the Old Testament and they abuse it. It's one of the most abused Scriptures because we're going to find out what touch not the anointed really means today. Because you had better challenge some of these teachings because your life and your soul and your future depends on it, right? So don't just sit there and say, well, they're anointed, so there's a gag order. We can't touch this. And this is what's happening because these super apostles, they get in their positions of authority and they start lording over people. They start controlling the shepherding movement all over again back from the 70s. You can't do anything unless your apostle tells you, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so it's a whole new breed of super apostles. I'm just so grieved. I unfacebooked a lot of these people that said, I'm apostle so-and-so, I'm so... Says who? I mean, they're self-appointed prophets that are taking people off into their own dreams and their own revelations, and they're basically saying the word in the Bible is old. You know, it was a good base, but now we have to go on. We have to go and map, you know, go beyond. Let's go beyond that. So this is the new breed of revivalists that will walk through walls, raise the dead, and conquer the seven spheres of society, in other words, the seven mountains, or they're dominionists. What is a dominionist? They believe that heaven has to come down to the earth. Well, guess what? The heaven and earth are separate. We're not going to heaven until we die and we get there. But they believe that the heaven has to come down, and because of that, there's no sickness, there's none of this stuff in heaven, so it's gonna be here on earth. Well, we are not going to have a perfect earth, but they believe that it's not going to get worse and worse. They believe they're going to make the world better and better. Well, you can see just looking out your window, it's not getting better and better. Two shootings last couple days, is that better and better? No, the Bible says it's going to be fiercely, it's going to get worse. So these deluded folks, and this was, it's a spirit of delusion, they have, the deluded folk have not been activated but captivated by false teachers and false doctrines. This is the other thing. Go to a school for $49, $300, everything costs now to go get activated. Go activate your gifts. Well, guess what? Man can't activate you. If God wants to give you a gift, it comes from him. And it's as the Spirit wills. They're in schools now to teach you how to prophesy. Now in Colossians 2:8, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive. And I looked up that word again this today to get another idea of what captive, prisoner of war. We're in a war. We're in a battle of truth. And if you don't know your Bibles in this hour, you're going to be a captive of war because you're going to believe what other people are telling you to believe. And you know, that's the first step into a cult, is always believe somebody else rather than read your Bible for yourself. So see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy. Now, we've talked about philosophy, the New Thought. I'm not going to go into that today, but New Thought went into the word of faith or a word of command. a word of decree, you decree and declare. Basically, you don't need God because your power, all of it's in your words. And that is a what? It's a philosophy. It's not the Bible. It was taught. It was a movement in the 70s, the 80s. It's kind of died down now somewhat. It's still there, but now it's emerging. It's morphing. It's morphing now into the supernatural schools of ministry, signs and wonders, just like the Bible said. Isn't it exciting? Just like the Bible said, this is going to happen. But here it says, under the guise of fresh revelation, anointing, impartation, new ways to hear from God and walk in the supernatural, false teachers have come to steal, kill, and destroy. The health and wealth gospel, word of faith heresy, false philosophies, traditions, new age doctrines, and mysticism have captivated millions in the visible church. Then he goes into some of the signs of being captive. And today we're just going to go on to the one. And it's the captive, we're being captive because we serve a personality. We are not to follow men. We can honor men. And we thank God for the good teachers that we have. But when they go against what the Bible says, we are not to follow them, right? So it's become a cult of personality. In Acts 20, 29 through 30, read that later, but it says, I know after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among our own selves will men arise. They rise up. That means they come to prominence. Now remember, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So a lot of this technology is promoting false prophets in this hour. And they speak perverse things to draw away disciples after them. We did not get saved by a man. We got saved by Jesus. We follow him. We keep our eyes on him, right? So we don't follow the cult of personality. What is a cult of personality? Well, first of all, 1 Corinthians 3 says we don't glory in men. Are you a Paul? Are you a Paulus? Thank God God uses certain people in our life at different times to help us, but we are not to follow blindly any man. What is the cult of personality? It's a misplaced or excessive admiration for a particular person. Problems start when the healthy admiration morphs into total obedience, total submission, without question to a man or a movement, and when a person becomes the center of attention rather than Jesus Christ. The leader, how can you tell if someone's starting to get cult? A lot of times they don't start off this way, but as they get fame and power, this is and pride, they have to watch out for this because you don't want to lead disciples after you. You want to make sure you're leading disciples after Christ. Okay, the leader demands special treatment, special honor, special recognition, and they're treated totally different and above others all the time. God isn't getting the glory, the leader is. Another thing about the cult of personality, they can't be questioned. They cast their vision, and you better not question their visions. No one can question them. Their speaking, their teaching revolves around themselves. It's also a type of narcissism. They talk about themselves and how God's visited them, and it's all about them and their dreams. And don't you just wish you could be as spiritual as them? Remember, we are called to be servants, not rock stars. Amen? A real true man of God is humble. Humble and loves people. Cultic type pastors, narcissistic pastors, it's all about them. They don't have time for you. Sheep stink. They don't want to be around stinky messes. True ministers love people. There is a song from the 90s, The Cult of Personality. You gave me fortune, you gave me fame, you gave me power in your God's name. I'm every person you need to be. I'm the cult of personality. This is what's happening in our churches today. We gave them power. We got to stop supporting these people. We gave them fame. We gave them power in our God's name. Well, now it's a coexist. It's all religions are becoming one. This is what they're doing. They are our cult of personality church. It's a placing a preacher and what he says above what the Bible says. That's it right there. They're placing their preacher's word. And when that happens, when we place someone else's revelation, and I've learned this the hard way, I've fallen into this myself. Well, that person visited, Jesus visited him, and they had a visitation. I used to fall for that. Now it's like, yeah, right. Now everybody's got a visitation and everyone's got a revelation. But it's their word above the Bible. Now people are actually getting addicted to these prophets. They go, instead of going to their Bible, they go to what prophet so-and-so has to say for the day. This is going into idolatry now. The cult of personality is a misplaced or excessive admiration. Wow, you know, we just get starstruck with some of these people. It's an unhealthy admiration, and it morphs into unquestionable obedience to a man away from Jesus and the Bible. What is a cult? A definition of a cult is a religious group that denies one or more of the fundamental or biblical truths, yet still claiming to be Christian. Okay? Now, here's the two things I found with cults. What they deny that Jesus was, they say Jesus was not God's, was not God. In other words, the death on the cross wasn't enough. He had to go to hell. Just think if God had to go to hell and die it's just total confusion. It wasn't enough. The cross wasn't enough. This is the new thought. This is the word of faith heresy that you are God's, because one of my mentors always bothered me. He said he got born again when he was dying and going to hell, and he died, and he was in hell, and he got saved in hell. Well, you're not going to live to tell about that. I mean, I always thought that doesn't sound right. And now that I know it's a metaphysical cult, that's what they are trying to push, that agenda that, you know, Jesus was just a man. He had the anointing. So now you can go and do just what Jesus did. So now you're a God too. So it's subtle, but they say Jesus was not God. The second thing they say in a cult is salvation is not by faith alone. And also, a lot of us came from some of these movements where it was a lot of works. It's your words. It's all that you do. Boy, you get tired running the universe, don't you? So those are part of the cults. They usually avoid, a lot of people avoid an invitation to compare the teachings of their idol to the Bible. Don't question them. We have been taught and brainwashed not to challenge preachers. So what happens now, we have the untouchables. And they quote the scripture, don't touch the anointed. You better not touch the anointed. Well, guess what? That's taken out of scripture, out of context. We're going to talk about that if we get there today. But you're anointed. Did you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you and you're anointed? He's not saying don't touch. He's saying don't harm. That word there is N-A-G-A, and it means don't cause physical harm to God's prophets. Because here Saul was running after David, and David, what did he want to do? He was tempted to kill the guy. He had a skirt, and he took a knife, and he took a little chunk, and would have been real easy to just stab him. But he, no, I'm not going to touch. I'm not going to kill God's anointed. See? But they use this, and you have to know, this is their God card of don't touch me, I'm anointed. And it's caused a lot of people to go silent, and it's caused a lot of people to stumble. It's caused a lot of people to just think, well, I guess, you know, they're anointed. It's the elite, and who am I to question this? We're all responsible to check out the scriptures. Many times their faith is in a personality instead of God's word. And this is what happened in the 90s, 70s, 80s, 90s. We had preachers set before us, and we just started following men. Most people didn't mean to do it, but we just started doing it. Paul was very clear in Acts 20. We just read there, but you read it again if you want. 28 through 31, the warnings. And he said, they're going to arise from among you. We still don't believe that the author of a Christian book, a magazine, or a TV personality may be one of the wolves. We have a hard time because many of us are gullible. You know what it means to be gullible? Easily deceived. You're easily duped. Someone says you're a Christian, I'll go in business with them. Have you found that out? It's like, wow, they're not so Christian after all. We get duped because someone says something and we think, well, you know, same thing with Christian leaders. So we have to be Bereans in Acts 17:11 and test all messages against the scriptures. This is going to be a foreign thing, because now with the new moves, they're saying, you know, it's what your apostle says. It's not what the word says, it's what the apostle says. And this is the splitting. This is the decomposition of Christianity happening on our watch. Okay, so some dangerous things. I just wrote down a few things. Why is it dangerous? Mistakes that any Christian, any of us can make in these movements. We assume that our spiritual leader, our mentor, or our movement can't be fooled or deceived. We'd sit under these men of God, and they were men of God. They taught us the Bible, some good, some bad. Some of it they brought in some of their poison. We didn't question them because we didn't think they could be deceived, right? This is why we have to wake up in this hour. The end time deception is religious deception. And remember, it's got to happen, but also because there's going to be a one world religion, there's going to be much deception in the name of religion. So we have to know our Bibles more than ever before and know that we are not following a man. We are not following a movement. We have to follow Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. We can't wake people up, but God can. We can just present the truth. You can just drop a seed. But if people are hungry, they're going to come out of this just like you came out of it. So the second thing is we take Bible verses out of context. And this is what happened in the Word of Faith movement. They just had a few scriptures that they would say, God wants everyone healed, God wants everyone wealthy, God wants everyone this, and they take a couple scriptures. You can have whatever you say, write your own ticket with God. We just took a few scriptures, and then as you read the Bible, you find out a whole lot of scriptures that don't go along with those few thoughts. No one should base their beliefs on standalone verses. Never base doctrines, never base your whole belief on just a few scriptures. You have to take it in context, and then you have to say, who was he writing this chapter to? Yeah. Right? You don't just pull out a verse. Anyone can do that, and that's what the occults and that's what all the other religions do. They take the Bible and they twist it to mean what they want it to mean. Mm-hmm. And this is what the false teachers do. This is how they bring in another gospel. Another danger, we as Christians, we are told we cannot judge. This is what I'm hearing right now more than ever before. Don't judge. It's not right. The Bible doesn't say that. It says we are to have righteous judgment. We're not to be hypocrites and, we're in a sin and we're judging someone else for the same sin, but we are to have righteous judgment. So now what Christians are doing, they're so gullible, they're easily duped because don't judge that, don't touch it. They are not walking in their discernment. And you're a sitting duck. You're a sitting duck if you don't learn how to discern. Now, what does that word discern mean? Because discernment is of the Holy Spirit. Discernment, even if you're born again, you have discernment. I think sometimes we have to be brainwashed. And a lot of times we'll be seeing something, well, if that doesn't feel right, we get talked out of it. But the Holy Spirit, the anointing is inside of you trying to teach you. He said, you don't need any man to teach you. The Holy Spirit's in there. And he's telling you, that's wrong, that's wrong. When you see a false prophet on stage gloating and boasting of how much money he has, that should give you a red flag, because you're like, men of God are supposed to be humble. We're supposed to be helping the poor. There's so many other scriptures that is a very arrogant, self-righteous man or woman. So that should give you right away that your discernment should say that doesn't agree with scriptures. But now it's how much materialism you have and how famous you are is how spiritual you are. That's how the world is. But discernment is the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong, and it's the ability to think biblically. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, every Christian has to use their own discernment. We are responsible not to have gag orders and say, oh, I can't touch that, or I don't want to judge that. No, you are responsible for discerning, is that of God or is that of man? Is that a true word or is that a false prophecy that wants to puff me up? So 1 Thessalonians 5 says, examine everything carefully. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. In 1 John 4:1, it says what? Test the spirits. Why do you have to test it? Because many, many, not few, many, many. And in the end times, it's going to be so many, it's going to be the sign before Jesus comes. They said, what's one of the signs you're coming? Deception in my name. This is why Paul said he cried day and night. He started naming names of the false prophets. He started declaring, look out, we're in trouble. We have many false teachers among us. They've risen up to prominence now. It's going to grow and increase in the end times. So they've gone out into the world. So discernment is not an option. It is required. You have to be obedient. You have to be a disciple of the Lord, and you have to have a discernment. So you have to know how to righteously judge. Now, I'm not talking about a bad judging where you put everybody down in your... There's some people that are mean. They're mean-spirited. They have, you know, like a cocky attitude. I'm not talking... You don't have to have any of that. You just discern. That's God. That's not God. If you don't, you're going to swallow everything everybody's telling you in this hour. And what happens? You're going to be shipwrecked, and you're going to be tossed to and fro. In the faith movement, we had a lot of people die before their time because they were told doctors weren't of God and that they shouldn't go to the doctor. Well, this next movement, it's going to be flaky signs and wonders. People going out, I mean, I talk about this every time, to heaven visits and portals and all this and that, and they're going to have demonic manifestations, and they're going to have a lot of mental problems because you can't go encounter demons and think you're going to have a good day. Just like drugs, you know, it starts off great, but then you get addicted and you can't just want pot, you want cocaine now, or you want something else. Well, these little trips aren't going to, they're going to have more, they got to be addicted. They're going to have a greater sign, a greater wonder. It's just, where's it going to end up? So why do not people come out of these movements? Why is it so hard? This is another danger. The longer somebody has been in a movement, the harder it is for them to come out. Because they've sown time and money into these false systems. We all have, but we have to come to a point and say, I did one day, I just said, there's no love in this movement. I don't see people caring for each other. I don't see anybody concerned about somebody else going through. Well, they just don't have enough faith. I knew that that wasn't right, and I knew that wasn't of God. But there are other parts that the more the prophetic, because I do see things and I do know, that's where I got more captured in, where I've had to unlearn and just say, okay, that guy that I thought was right, I found he's a Knight of Malta. Oh, there's two Knights of Malta. No, there's not two Malta. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Same with, oh, there's two words of faith. No, there's not two words of faith. There, it's a word of command, and it's all... You have to do your own research on it. But the longer you've been involved in these false systems, you got to humble yourself and you got to admit you were wrong. And we have to repent to get out. Amen. Because some people don't want to repent, so they're not going to get out. Yeah. It's work to admit I've been involved in a false system. But when you look around and you see people, there's no good fruit. I see rotten fruit. You got to start checking the trees, right? So they've invested a lot of time and money. They don't want to face it. They don't want to admit that they're wrong. They're blinded to see what they want to see. And then they're too proud and stubborn to admit that they were duped. We all have to come to that place to come out of it to say, I thought this was right. And it's our journey. None of us have been perfect, right? We've all made mistakes, but that's part of the club. The 1 John 1:9 club. We confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us, and he will. Another danger and excuse for not discerning or testing or questioning is that people say, touch not the anointed. You can't touch that preacher. Don't touch. There's a book that a lady was telling me she was reading, and it was a woman's thing. She says, don't ever question the anointed. Well, you'd better question, because what if they're anointed falsely by a wrong spirit? Now, it's found in 1 Chronicles 16:22 and Psalms 105:15. And the 105 one is it's a warning to the pagan nations to leave God's people alone during the Exodus. Don't kill them. Don't touch them. Don't harm them. Now, in the other places it's found in the Bible, people fear the wrath of God. They feel, because this is what the pastors that are in these false movements say, don't come against me, I'm the anointed. I was just reading some testimonies this morning about people, don't question me, I'm the anointed. And you're going to be cursed if you leave. Well, if somebody tells you you're going to be cursed, you better run fast, because right away, a true man of God's not going to curse you. But false prophets will. So people fear the wrath of God. And that word touch in the Hebrew is N-A-G-A. And it means to lay one's hand upon. It means physical harm. It doesn't mean don't rebuke or correct them. Everybody needs to be corrected and rebuked sometimes. I don't care if it's an apostle, if it's a prophet, if it's a pastor, whatever. If it's your husband, if it's your wife or your kids. None of us are beyond correction. And correction is not negative when it's the Lord. It's a very positive thing because it saves you from danger. So to never correct these false people is causing them more harm, because they're just going to get more and more deluded thinking they're King Tut. Now, there's a popular TV preacher, and I'm quoting from 1992. He says, "Be careful. Your little ones may suffer because of your stupidity. Now I'm pointing my finger today with the mighty power of God on me." Notice how they always use God. "And I speak, and your children will suffer. If you care for your kids, stop attacking me." You cannot win attacking the servants of the Lord, no matter who they are or what they've done. Now, doesn't this give them a clean card to do anything? "If the anointing ever comes upon a man, don't touch that man, even if he turns away from God and serves the devil. Don't touch him. You are in deep, serious danger." So now, these false prophets, they use this with their false teaching when you try to confront them or tell them what the Bible says. It's a get-out-of-jail-free card for the con artists. I can say whatever I want, and you can't challenge me because I'm anointed. Now we have the untouchables, the elite. Never challenge or speak out against God's anointed, this woman said in this book. We now have the untouchable anointed beyond criticism, beyond testing, and claim if you try and correct them, you will die, or they say you're going to get cancer. I've read some of these and I can't believe it. This was mostly in the 90s, but a lot of these people were on television. Wow. How sad that you have to resort to false curses to push your doctrines. The truth, if you're a man of God, you don't have to curse anybody. You just speak the word. You preach what the Bible says. You leave the results up to God. You don't have to defend yourself. I always say when you defend yourself, there's a devil loose. You don't have to defend truth. So now we have gag orders. Christians are afraid to speak up. Other preachers that have smaller ministries than these big preachers are afraid to speak up, because they're like, oh, I don't, you know, whatever. Touch not mine anointed. The Lord's anointed, we're often rebuked. You might be anointed, but you can be rebuked too. Saul by Samuel for his disobedience and sparing the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord. Samuel rebuked him. And guess what? Saul, he tried to get out of it, but he did never say, I'm anointed, don't touch me. Then we've got in 2 Samuel 12:13. I don't think I have time to go there, but look that up. I was going to look that up. This is when David was anointed king of Israel. He was exposed by Nathan. Remember, because he took Uriah's wife and he had Uriah killed. So God sent Nathan. And what did Nathan do? He rebuked him. He told him, because of your disobedience, you were anointed, called, separated. At that, in the Old Testament, they had anointed of oil. They were separated into the office of the priest or the king. He was separated into that office, but he disobeyed. Disobedience disqualifies us. God can take away whatever he's given us if we disobey. So here, Nathan, what did he do? Nathan, he confronted David, but what did David say? He didn't say, I'm anointed. Who do you think you are? Nathan, touch not God's anointed. He didn't say that, did he? When he got confronted by the truth, he repented. And thank God he did. And that's what we have to do. When we get confronted, when we've been wrong, and boy, I tell you, a lot of us have been wrong in a lot of ways, thinking we were sincere, but we were sincerely wrong. We have to repent. Then in Galatians 2:11, read that. Peter was rebuked by Paul face to face because he was preaching false things. None of them set themselves on pedestals or cursed those who tried to correct them. You don't see that. You see it today with false prophets. Don't touch me, I'm anointed. Real men of God never did that. And even ones that fell and were in sin repented. They had enough sense, some of them did, to repent, but they never attacked. They never put themselves above a correction. David rebuked Saul face to face in 1 Samuel 24. He didn't kill him. He didn't harm him, but he rebuked him. So touch not the anointing doesn't mean you can't rebuke her. And I'm not talking about some rebellious guy that's going to come and try to tell someone off. I'm talking about sincere believers that are walking with the Lord, that are confused, and they want truth. They're not out to try to destroy someone, or they're not out trying to, you know, because that's the wrong spirit too. But to use touch not me because I'm so anointed is totally a gag, a con artist. It's something that puts fear in people, and as a result, they stay in these churches. Right. They end up being controlled. False teaching thrives where it can't be questioned. So if you question the leader, what they'll do? If they're a false prophet, they'll get rid of you. Get rid of you. They don't want you around. False teachers want their critics, God's to say, God's going to get you. God's going to get you. That should be the first red flag of a false prophet. When you hear these kind of sayings coming out and putting fear and shame and guilt on you, you should run, because right away you know that's not the right spirit, because it silences anybody that challenges them. And an interesting scripture in Revelations here, Revelation 6:9, John writes, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They were killed because they held to the word against opposition. And so they became," what? They became martyrs. They died for the word of God. So here we see the people that are in apostasy, those that are false prophets, always hate those who keep the word. There's a war. And these people gave their lives to stand on the Bible because they wouldn't give up the word of God. It might come to that point in the United States someday. You can see if this Equality Act comes into being, we're going to lose a lot of our freedoms. But the Bible says we need to prepare anyway, because the Bible already tells us it's not going to, if the world loves you, you're not supposed to be in love with the world. And we have a church now, you can't tell the difference between the world and the church. And there's a lot of compromise going on. All right, let me close with this one thing. Can you guys hang on for 1 second? Now this is, narrow is the way. I've already shared this with you before. Have you really found it? And it was so cute when I shared this last time. Almost all the authors wrote me. They're like, thank you for promoting our book. And get it on Amazon, but it's Testimonies. In page 23, going back to Don't Touch the Anointed, the pastor becomes a god to be obeyed at all costs. Remember, Jesus likened himself unto a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's not going to take out beat you up and, you know, tell you all this stuff. He's a good shepherd. But these false pastors just shear the sheep. They make merchandise of you. The pastor becomes a god. In other words, here's a cult of personality. You obey him at all costs. He is put on a pedestal so he can say, God told me. And then the pastor is never questioned. It seems as if he had a hotline to God that must be envied. I figured out this game and saw that his God told me was just a manipulation gimmick, a way to control the people and to teach us false doctrines. And the last part I want to share, I have shared this before, but I thought this was so good because this is what's happening in our churches today, all over the world. People are texting me, emailing me, we can't find a church that teaches the Bible anymore. All this occult witchcraft mysticism stuff's coming in. And this is it. It's part of the New World religion. But this guy from England, he started going to this church and he loved it, but he said it started to change. And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing churches are changing right before our eyes. What they used to be, now they're changing. Notice now Halloween is celebrated. Christmas is celebrated with Santa Claus. All the heathen stuff is coming back in. Little by little, they're changing it. They're taking Christ out and they're putting the world in by design. This is Alice Bailey stuff I've been teaching you about. But he said he noticed that out went supplication, making requests to God in prayer, being humble, and in came declaration. The use of, I declare, I pull down, I release financial breakthroughs. Such declaration effectively leaves God out of the conversation and takes the focus away from him and onto our faith. I guess I am supposed to share this, but one of the guys that I used to come to our church a lot was Miles Monroe. He's passed away now. But I never could figure, and I loved him as a man. My kids used to call him Uncle Miles, but I never could figure out his theology. Now I figured it. I remember one of my friends, his husband had just died, and he talked about there was no heaven. And she goes, well, where did he go then? I was sitting right next to her, and I was like, I don't know what he's preaching about. Well, then he was on television, and this is what he said. Now, this is how long this has been going on. Even though some of us knew something wasn't right, I was like, this doesn't sound right. Because he was preaching on kingdom now rather than kingdom come. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. He said, prayer is a man giving God permission or license to interference in God's affairs. Prayer is earthly license for heavenly intervention. God can do nothing without a human giving him access. God is always looking for someone to give him permission. God has the power, but you have the permission. God has the authority and the power, but you have the license. So even though God can do anything, listen to this, he can only do what you permit him to do. And he died in a plane crash. Sad. But I'm not even going to go into that, whatever happened, but I'm just saying we can't control our destinies like that, that it's just that easy, that God can't do anything without our permission. Boy, aren't you special, if that was true. Okay, so in this church, this went out. Out went prayer and seeking God. Now in comes declaration, because now we don't have to seek God. We know his will. We just boss him around in his angels. We tell those angels what to do. Okay, then out went evangelism, making disciples, and in came motivationalism. In came mystic, occult practices, spiritual readings. Our belief was to give people prophetic words, but we're instructed to not talk about Jesus or to approach the subject of sin and the need for repentance and for salvation. Wow. In came culture, influencing the culture as the Seven Mountains mandate. Out went exegesis, reading scripture in context, objectively drawing out the intended meaning from the text and teaching it to others. And in came taking scriptures out of context, ignoring the intended meaning, applying subjective teachings and teaching these things to others. This is what we've seen in a lot of our movements. Certain scriptures are emphasized. Out went quoting the Bible. In came quoting leaders. You can find out a lot about people when you start talking to them who they quote. They stop quoting the Bible. Well, this is what Brother So-and-so says. Now we're into what? And it's okay to have certain of that, but some of these people blindly follow men only, is my point. Out went testing, using discernment. In came touch not the Lord's anointed. Anything less than wholesale acceptance of the teachings of these leaders carried the strong implication that your faith was lacking, that you had a critical, rebellious, or religious spirit, that you were divisive, or even that you were against God himself. In came false prophecies. Out went reality, living in the real world. In came unreality, driven by the lie of positive thinking. Now, I've taught a lot about that. Oh, and then let me close with this. In came trips to heaven. Yes, we even had practical teaching on how to visit heaven from the comfort of our chair. In reality, this was no more than a phony visualization exercise. But because it was believed, assumed to be genuine, you could give your own account of what you saw, heard, and experienced on your trip. And no one could question your claims, no matter how bizarre or out of line with Scripture they were. And then in came delusion. I'm perfectly serious when I assert that continued exposure to an indulgence in positivity, which is in fact reality denial, can cause serious and long-lasting damage to your mental health. All that to say, wow. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The Bible says his word is his word. So we have to be careful when a man comes in and changes and says his word is more important. It's fresh revelation from God. Amen? Let's pray. Amen. Father, we thank you that the truth sets us free, and we all repent for following men. We've all done it. We all thought we were following you through those men, but we didn't realize they were taking us off into strange lands, strange doctrines, strange voices, different ways to hear from God. And we just want to say this because we don't want this next generation to make the same mistakes that we made, because now more delusion is coming, more confusion, more occultism. They're preaching now that we have to go back into the occults to bring it out because Christianity has missed that. And there's so many good things to learn in all these occults and the New Age and all that. This is what they're saying. They're bringing Christianity down piece by piece. Deconstruction, thank you. They're deconstructing it. And Father, we don't want it to be deconstructed. We hold to our Bible. We thank you for your truth that sets us free. And everyone said?
Amen.
Yeah. Narrow is the way. Have we really found it?
We just want to thank our YouTube audience. We are so glad that you're here, and we just don't take it lightly that you've taken your time to visit us weekly and to watch our YouTube ministry. And we just want to introduce ourselves. We're just a small remnant church. We're a group of believers who wants to follow the true Jesus and the true gospel. And we thank you that you're here doing that with us. Our online church is really a group of people that does life together, and if you consider this your church, we want to do life with you too. So we're inviting you to join us on our private Facebook group. You can search for us on Facebook. It's LIHPC Online Church Fellowship. Please go there and request to become a member, and we would be happy to connect with you online. We would also really love it if you'd want to continue to follow us, if you'd click subscribe and make sure you ring the bell, and that way you'll get notifications every week. And please share this YouTube on your social media so that other people can learn more about the truth as well. Lastly, if you would like to financially support our ministry, if you consider us a part of your church experience and you would like to donate, you can do that by visiting our website, livinginhispresence.org, and just click give at the top. We thank you, and again, we don't take it lightly. We really appreciate you. Thank you.